Today's episode of the Daily Ding is brought to you by Robinhood. With Robinhood, you can invest in stocks, options, and ETFs right from your phone. You can even spend and earn interest on uninvested cash. And with fractional shares, you can buy stocks in any amount, including companies like Apple, Amazon, and Tesla, for as little as $1. And that's with no commission fees or account minimums. So whether you're new to investing and ready to learn, or just looking for a better experience, stop waiting and join the 10 million Robinhood users. Listeners can get started with a free stock by going to thedailyding.robinhood.com. That's thedailyding.robinhood.com. All investments involve risk. This is not investment advice, a recommendation, or a solicitation of any security. Other fees may apply. Visit rbnhd.co/fees. The free stock program is subject to certain limitations. Annual percentage yield on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank.
Welcome to the Daily Ding on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Reverse flush and ain't that a smooth one?
This all goes, and I hope I have no friends.
And his response was, "I'm sorry, I just wanted a Frosty."
One Tyler know his ass should have got thrown out. If I was a ref, I would have tossed his ass. How dare you?
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Wednesday, everybody. We've got all your action covered from Tuesday night around the NBA as more tributes continue to pour in for Kobe Bryant and all the victims lost in the tragic crash the other day. I'm your host, Dave DeFore, joined by the first time in a long time by Nitzan Bluestein. What's up, Nitz?
You almost had my name right. You were so close.
Almost. I'm going to get there by the time we're done. Yeah, by the time we're done. And Rob Lopez is producing the show, as always. Coming up on today's show, the Grizzlies smash the Nuggets, the Wizards get smoked again, and the Raptors just keep winning. But first, the Celtics take a big one in Miami. Celtics defeat the Heat 109-101. Nitz, I want to start out. We got to talk about Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward was looking great up until he broke his hand. Struggled a little bit since he's come back from that hand injury. Tonight, I thought he really looked like early season Hayward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just, you know, takes some time when you come back from an injury like that. But Celtics had practically nobody playing tonight. They had like eight players. Hayward had to step up. He did it. Let's hope that it continues and he stays this consistent.
Yeah, that's right. No Tatum, who has been arguably their best player all year. He's still out. Missed his third consecutive game with that groin injury. Kemba Walker, 25 points tonight. I think the Celtics might have potentially four all-stars. Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. The only reason is that there's so much. I mean, we saw Jimmy Butler get snubbed. So not everyone can make it into the all-star game, but they have four all-star level guys playing for them right now. Absolutely.
And that's not even including Marcus Smart, who, despite the fact that if you look at the box score, you're going to see 3 of 13, 11 points. You know, seven rebounds. Marcus Smart was the most important player that wasn't Gordon Hayward in this game.
Oh, yeah. And that's the case with Marcus Smart at all times, right? It's the guy that you don't see on the scoreboard, but he'll have a three right when it matters, where he had that crazy tip when the Heat really could have come back into the game, but then he tipped it to the Celtics and they got another possession. He always does those little things that help you win.
Yeah, down the stretch, Deion Waiters missed a three that I had my hands in the air because I thought it was going in, and he misses that three. Marcus Smart comes down, hits a dagger, and then he seals the victory with a tip out offensive rebound in a sea of Heat bodies. And that is the kind of stuff that you have to have, you know, like Marcus Smart just makes winning plays every single possession.
He got so high on that jump too. Came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Shortest guy in the scrum and somehow comes away with the offensive rebound. The defense for the Celtics tonight held the Heat to 37% shooting, 24% from three-point line. The ball was moving well for the Heat. They just were not hitting shots. Jimmy Butler had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals. Goran Dragic looked really great coming off the bench, 23 points. Bam Adebayo with 16 points, 10 rebounds. But they just could not hit enough shots to win.
They couldn't hit anything. And I think you mentioned that they had a lot of great ball movement. They only ended up with 15 assists for the game. And that just goes to show, like, they were playing right. you have some of these nights where you're just, you know, they're not going to shoot 24% from three every night.
You know what I'm going to say right now?
I have no idea.
It's a make or miss league.
It's riveting. It's a make or miss league. I've never heard that in my life.
That's right. And tonight, the Heat just could not hit shots. Celtics defense has been fantastic all season. Another example tonight. They were running guys off the three-point line. I mean, the Heat got up 37 threes. They weren't all good looks. They missed some good looks, but they weren't all good looks. I thought the Celtics, you know, did a really great job being shorthanded. Grant Williams, you know, at somebody's going to do a video breakdown of the way he played, and especially in the second half of this game, defensively. His verticality, I thought, was fantastic around the rim, grabbing a couple of key offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. But when it was all said and done, the Celtics beat the Heat 109-101. Hey, guys, I have a daily sports podcast I want to tell you about from Wondery and The Athletic. It's called The Lead. Every weekday morning, The Lead brings you a deep dive into the biggest sports stories of the day from The Athletic's all-star team of local and national sport reporters. Stories like, where did the 49ers' new star running back Raheem Mostert come from? Or what can Zion Williamson do for the Pelicans? So if you're looking for the full story behind last night's scores and today's hot takes, make sure you subscribe to The Lead from Wondery and The Athletic. In Memphis, the Grizzlies shocked the Nuggets 104-96. Nets, listen, the story of this game, I don't think that you can talk about it without mentioning that the Grizzlies outscored the Nuggets 76-22 in the paint.
That's just such an abysmal number. I mean, good on the Grizzlies for knowing that with Plumlee out, they can probably eat in the paint, but you cannot let a team get 76 points on you. And there isn't another sentence that I can say there.
Yeah, you mentioned Plumlee, but the big one is they were missing Paul Millsap tonight. They also were missing Jamal Murray. And so maybe this is a different game, you know, offensively for the Nuggets. But Paul Millsap really is the key to their interior defense. And with him out, Jeremy Grant's got to step up. He's got to do more. Offensively, Jeremy Grant was fine. 21 points. Jokic had 25, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. And their chemistry there is improving on the offensive end. But you need more help side defense from Jeremy Grant. Paul Millsap is fantastic at that. But 76, giving up 76 points in the paint, unacceptable. You are not going to win a lot of games. Jaren Jackson Jr. in this game had 7 blocks, a new career high. He also hit 2 threes. And per Omari Sankofa, he had 9 trucks. That's what we're calling those from now on. I think it's only for Jaren Jackson that we're using that term. But the Grizzlies moving the ball really well, Nitz.
It's such a delight to watch them. Like, you could tell that these guys trust each other. They know what's coming. They had 20 assists in the first half. They finished with 32 overall. They move the ball. They execute plays. It's just, you can't ask for a better chemistry than what these guys showed today.
Well, I think that you can only, when you have a team that's this young, that core is just incredibly young. They've done a great job of filling it out with veterans. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas, fantastic tonight, had 23 points, 12 rebounds. Dylan Brooks, who, you know, not quite a big time vet, not what we would think of as a vet, but older than the core, 24 points tonight. Obviously, Jay Crowder has been big for this team. The chemistry is the key to their success, I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When you get everybody playing for each other the way they do, obviously you've got Ja Morant, who's so electric and gets the team going. But, I mean, they had this game pretty well in hand even before Ja started doing stuff.
Yeah, Ja Morant was essentially a non-factor until the fourth quarter, at least offensively. Like, he obviously impacts the game whenever he's out there, but, you know, he finished with 14 points. He wasn't a score for them tonight, but then the rest of those guys took over, like Valanciunas, Dylan Brooks. They're really, like, they have so many guys to rely on night in, night out, and they know when someone has the hot hand, they're going to rely on them that night.
Yeah, and it should be noted, this is a bigger win for the Grizzlies than it is a loss for the Nuggets. Without Jamal Murray, without Plumlee, without Millsap, I mean, that's two guys missing from your starting lineup, and then another guy who plays heavy rotation minutes. So, you know, not a big deal for the Nuggets to drop this game, especially on the road, but it's a huge win for the Grizzlies, who actually look like they're trying to make the playoffs.
Absolutely. I would, however, say it's a little bit of a knock on the Nuggets, because again, that 76 points in the paint line shouldn't be a factor when you have a guy like Jokic. You shouldn't be allowed to put 76 points in the paint on any team.
In news, Victor Oladipo, who's going to return Wednesday night, will be coming off the bench with a minutes limit. Per our own Scott Agnes, who covers the Pacers for us, the Pacers are also hopeful that Malcolm Brogdon can clear the concussion protocol and be available to play in Wednesday night's game. Nitz, this team is three games outside of the two seed. They're already what I would deem a pretty good team. Oladipo is going to increase their ceiling quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you get a star back like Victor Oladipo, you know, obviously he's not going to qualify for the All-Star this year, but this is an All-Star level player and you need that for your team to be elite. And they're three games back from the second seed. I wouldn't be shocked if going into, you know, past All-Star break, we see them climb up in those standings to be like a top four team.
Yeah, I was pretty low on the Pacers coming into the season because of the injury issue with Oladipo. I didn't think they had a dynamic playmaker because we didn't know that Malcolm Brogdon was this all-star level guy. I didn't know Sabonis was going to take a little leap like he did. And now all of a sudden you've got Brogdon who is playing like an all-star. You've got Sabonis who should be an all-star. And you're adding a real all-star, a guy who's made an all-star team, back to that roster. Listen, I think that they could go into the playoffs as a two seed. Now, I also think Nate McMillan is going to be really patient about it. I think they're going to make sure Oladipo's healthy and they're going to let him shake the rust off. But, you know, I do think this team is going to climb the standings. And I think they're going to be a team that nobody wants to play in the playoffs.
They weren't. So this is actually an interesting point because they weren't a team that you wanted to face in the playoffs last year without Depot in the first place. But then, you know, they went on these like random stretches where they couldn't score because they didn't have a bucket getter like Victor Oladipo. You add that and they become an incredibly special team.
Absolutely. According to our own Sham Sharania, some players are deciding to stop wearing the number 8 or the number 24 jersey and change their number in honor of Kobe Bryant. In total, there are 30 players who came into the season wearing either the number 24 or the number 8. Four players so far have switched their number. Nets guard Spencer Dinwiddie is changing from 8 to 26. Magic swingman Terrence Ross is going from 8 to 31. Mo Harkless changing from 8 to 11. And Zaire Smith is going to change from 8 to 5. He actually wore number 7 in tonight's game. Pacers big man Alize Johnson has actually decided that he wants to continue to honor his childhood idol, Kobe Bryant, and will not change his number. He's going to keep the number 24. Today, we also had a few more tributes come in from NBA luminaries like Phil Jackson, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul. And there was actually a really, really touching tribute done on TNT by the Inside the NBA crew with a panel hosted by Ernie Johnson. Had Shaquille O'Neal, Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Steve Nash, Candace Parker, Dwayne Wade, and to me, most poignantly, Jerry West, who, you know, was like a father figure to Kobe Bryant. It was extremely touching. And if you get a chance, if it's, you know, if it's on Twitter or go on YouTube, I'm sure it'll be up. I very much suggest checking that out. It was something to watch. Going through the rest of the games around the league, in Charlotte, the Hornets defeat the Knicks 97-92. Both teams did the 24-8 tributes like we've been seeing all across the league. The Hornets actually wore special arm sleeves that had 8 and 24 on them. RJ Barrett missing his sixth straight game with an ankle injury. He also said before the game that he does not want to be called the Maple Mamba out of respect for Kobe Bryant. The Hornets, with this win, snapped an 8-game losing streak. Terry Rozier had 30 points, 10 rebounds. Miles Bridges had 15 points. Malik Monk had 13 points off the bench. Julius Randle with 24 and Marcus Morris with 23, respectively, for the Knicks. In Philadelphia, the Sixers defeat the Warriors 115-104. This is Joel Embiid's first game back after missing 9 games with that hand surgery. He actually called Bobby Jones, whose number 24 was retired by the 76ers, and got permission to wear it for tonight's game. And he let a turnaround jumper fly and he yelled, "Kobe," which is always, you know, very nice. And I'm going to continue to do that when I miss garbage in the trash can. Nitz, The Sixers offense really struggled while Embiid was out. Looked a little bit better tonight. I expect it's going to round into form in the next few weeks.
For sure. And, you know, they were still winning games, so I don't think that they completely went flat or anything. But their ceiling is so much higher with a guy like Embiid's caliber on their team. So it'll be great to get him back, you know, get in a good groove going into the All-Star break and then leading out of that.
Absolutely. Ben Simmons had 17, 4 rebounds, 5 assists tonight. Raul Neto with 19 points off the bench. D'Angelo Russell had 28 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists. And Draymond Green just missing a triple-double with 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 12 assists for the Warriors. In Cleveland, the Pelicans defeat the Cavs 125-111. They held a moment of silence again for Kobe Bryant. Larry Nance wore the number 24 to honor his former teammate. Darius Garland missed this game for rest. Didn't matter. He wouldn't have helped. The Cavs just kind of hopeless offensively compared to the Pelicans. Jrue Holiday had 28 with 8 assists. Brandon Ingram with 24 points, 6 assists. Zion had 14 points, 9 rebounds. He scored every single bucket in the paint. But he did get a dunk blocked in this game by Colin Sexton. Colin Sexton had 24 points for the Cavs, and Kevin Porter Jr. continues to have a really nice season, a little bit under the radar, 21 points for him off the bench. In Toronto, the Raptors defeat the Hawks 130-114. The Raptors have now, with Miami's loss and this win, has now moved into the 2 seed in the East. That 2-6 jumble is very, very tight. Toronto riding an 8-game win streak. Vince Carter returned to Toronto for the first time this season and got a video tribute. Kyle Lowry, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists, and he actually tonight became Toronto's all-time leader in assists, which is pretty cool for a guy that's been there for a while. Pascal Siakam, 24 points, 9 rebounds. Serge Ibaka with 24 and 10 rebounds off the bench. The Raptors just cannot seem to stay healthy. Marc Gasol left this game with a hamstring injury. OG Anunoby left with a shoulder injury. We're still waiting for updates on both of those guys. John Collins had 28 and 12 rebounds for the Hawks. Trae Young with 18 points, 13 rebounds, was 1 of 7 from 3. Cam Reddish, also 18 points, 6 rebounds, starting to turn it around from that early season struggles. In Milwaukee, the Bucks defeat the Wizards 151-131. This is the fourth time this season and the second game in a row that the Wizards have given up 150 points. Nitz, what is happening?
How embarrassing. I don't have a better word. That's just embarrassing. You cannot give 150 points if you're an NBA team, especially when the team doesn't have its best player, Giannis, on the... Like, are you kidding?
That's right. Giannis missed this game with a shoulder issue. Didn't matter because Chris Middleton had a career game. 51 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Eric Bledsoe chips in 34, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. Dante DiVincenzo had 16 points off the bench. Bradley Beal had 47, but nobody's going to remember because the Wizards gave up 151 points in this game. Need to hammer that home. 151 points in regulation. Thomas Bryant had 18 points, 10 rebounds for the Wizards in the loss. In Dallas, the Suns defeat the Mavericks 133-104. DeAndre Ayton had a fantastic game, 31 points, 9 rebounds. Devin Booker with 32 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds. Kelly Oubre Jr. with 19 points and 6 rebounds. The Mavs shot 21% from 3 in this game, so they did themselves no favors. Luka Doncic, 21 points, 6 rebounds. JJ Barea with 15 points and 7 assists off the bench. And now it's time for the line of the night. Nitz, I think this one is, I mean, you know, we know who this is going to be. Chris Middleton, 51 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and his team scored 151 points. Devin Booker, 32 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. DeAndre Ayton, 31 points, 9 rebounds. And Bradley Beal, 47 points, 6 assists, and his team gave up 151 points.
Just to hammer that home one more time.
Insane.
Obviously, my line of the night goes to Middleton.
Yeah.
Clearly. Also, I forgot to start him in my fantasy team today, so I'm hurting over here, but Middleton, 51 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. That's nuts.
I always love when you and the Wizards take an L. That's going to do it for today's show. Don't forget about the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We have all your favorite shows like Back to Back, No Dunks, Tampering, House of Strauss, plus over a dozen team-specific shows from some of your favorite Athletic beat writers. Don't forget to follow the shows that you like on the app so you get notifications for new episodes. If you're not a member of The Athletic, I have a deal for you. You can get all of our podcasts ad-free, plus the best sports writing for every major sport at a super low price. Get 40% off your subscription today at theathletic.com/dings. You never know when these promos are going to stop, so stop waiting. Go sign up now. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Knicks, do the honors.
Ding, ding.
It's Super Bowl week, Kavitha.
Yeah, man. I mean, Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs just went off during these playoffs. And that Niners defense is just stout.
Right. And the one guy everyone will be watching closely is the dude who torched the souls of Packers fans and basically gave Jimmy Garoppolo the day off.
Mostert, left side. Another first down carry and more. How about a touchdown? His fourth touchdown of the ball game.
Raheem Mostert ran for 220 yards and four touchdowns against Green Bay. This is a guy who was cut by six different NFL teams and who, before the season, was mostly seen as a special teams player.
And so today, we're going to speak with The Athletic's Tim Kawakami, who has been covering the 49ers for years, about how much of a surprise Mostert's performance really was, if he was a one-game wonder, and how surfing has influenced the way he runs.
The wave hits and then he's gone. It's a very interesting kind of combination of a surfer running back.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. This is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
You gotta go faster, faster!
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding me?
I've never seen anything like
that's
that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
So, Tim, Raheem Mostert's performance against the Packers was truly historic. What was his reaction after the game?
He was like, "You know, hey, Raheem, did you know it was one of the greatest games a running back ever had in the NFC Championship game?"
No, I did not, actually. And truthfully, for you to even say that right now is like, I'm still shocked. Like, I can't believe that.
That's the kind of guy he is, the kind of guy a lot of these players are. But especially Raheem had been bouncing around from team to team. Really wasn't thought of as a running back until the 49ers just started plugging him in there. And he just never had a bad run. He just never went for less than 5 yards. So you might as well just keep giving it to him.
Somehow the handoff into the arms of Mostert. He's gone. Touchdown, San Francisco.
You know, just he still acts like a journeyman. He acts like a guy who was a special teams player who isn't going to be a featured back while he's putting up some of the, you know, mega numbers in the playoffs. They all treat themselves and they look at the world like they're a bunch of journeymen. It's very, very refreshing. And I think it is a large part of how they've kind of coalesced together. Nobody's bigger than anybody else in that locker room. Even the guy who goes for 200 and whatever yards in the NFC Championship game.
He's a surfer, right?
He is a surfer.
First of all, you got no wetsuit on. You're just straight trunks. You ride longboard, shortboard. You've been to Mavericks yet? Like, walk us through the surfing and when you started and how you got into that.
You know, I started surfing when I was about 13 or 14. And, you know, it's just been a big hit for me going out there on the waves and riding the waves like you see in this video, man. Just enjoying the atmosphere in the water. And I want to go to Mavericks.
So, you know, almost got a surfing contract from Billabong. He's, you know, Florida waves. So out here in California, we're not sure what that is. But I guess they get waves out there. And he runs like a surfer.
Mostert in the backfield. He gets it. Samuel out in front. Touchdown.
Kind of feels the crest. He kind of like glides towards to where the hole is and then catches the next wave and there he's gone. And guys don't expect him to get past him and they get past him. It's not like a classic running back. He's not like Walter Payton juking. He's kind of filling the moment, feeling where it is. The wave hits and then he's gone. It's a very interesting kind of combination of a surfer running back.
And do you think he's been enjoying his time in the spotlight here?
Yes, I think he has. He understands what it's like not to be any part of this, to be such an afterthought to your cut by five teams. He understands that, you know, a world where he's not a star. He's lived in that world. So he's going to enjoy it a little bit. Again, I don't think he's seeking out crazy fame, but these guys are all kind of enjoying it. Right now, they're all kind of like, this is pretty good. This is pretty good right now.
And so, Tim, Mostert's performance seemed to come out of nowhere. But did you foresee this?
You know, I don't think you ever foresee a guy going for 200 plus in an NFC championship game unless he's, you know, a top, top pick. He certainly wasn't. But he's been impressive. Every time he's carried the ball, he's been impressive. He's been a star special teamer, so you knew he had some skills. But you saw something building there, and you sometimes running backs just come out of nowhere. The Shanahans are famous for that. Pulling some guy out of the fifth round, he runs for 1,000 yards. Mostert is in that category. They've tapped into something with him. Kyle Shanahan recognized it. So he's been good for most of the season.
Well, Tim, thanks for joining us. And it'll be interesting to see if Mostert and the 49ers can pull it off on Sunday.
All right. I'll see you. Talk to you later.